Now, nearly a million Wisconsinites don't have access to retirement saving through their employer. A state retirement task force came out with recommendations last month for how to make retirement more accessible for Wisconsinites. The recommendations include creating savings accounts for every person born in the state that could ultimately be used for retirement. Sarah Godlewski is the Wisconsin State Treasurer and the chair of the Bipartisan Retirement Task Force. Godlewski is a Democrat. She joined us earlier today to talk about the Retirement Task Force recommendations. What are some of the challenges people in Wisconsin are having when it comes to saving for a secure retirement?
Well, first, I want to define the problem, Rob, because a lot of people know retirement security is a concern, but truly, it is a crisis. We know that 88% of Wisconsinites are concerned about their financial security and wish they could save more. And when you look at the numbers, by allowing the status quo to continue, we're going to see over 400,000 seniors in poverty by 2030. And that's going to come at a cost to the state. By not taking any action, we'll see over $3 billion to our state budget. And the system is complicated. People can't live off of Social Security alone, and they don't have access to retirement at work. We know almost a million Wisconsinites don't have retirement at work. And these are the issues that our task force looked at head on, whether it was access to increasing participation.
You mentioned that retirement task force. You're the chair of that. What are the recommendations you released to help address this problem?
So there were five recommendations, and it was looking not only at the current system and how we can improve it, but where are the gaps? And we wanted to make sure that these were innovative, bipartisan solutions, but also that they were financially sustainable. And so there's two that I want to highlight just on the front end. The first is 401 kids. Something that we kept hearing over and over again is that I wish I would have saved early. And so 401 kids opens an account the day somebody is born. It seeds the account with whether that's $100, $200, and it allows it to grow. And so for an example, if we would seed that account with $500 and we allow the market to work for it just the way that a 401k or Roth IRA does, that account would be worth over $40,000 by the time that Wisconsinite turns 65. Which could be an incredible difference for so many families across the state. And then the second recommendation, Rob, is looking at our small business solution. It's called Wisconsin Saves. And you can think about it more or less as a public option. We heard from small business owners that it's not that they don't want to offer retirement. It's more that it's either too costly, too complicated, or too time consuming. And so the state would set up a retirement option that employers could join at no cost and workers could use it as well at no cost, and they're immediately vested. And that would get to what we have been told a really big problem when it comes to access.
Now, how about people who are a little older, a little further along, might be retiring in the next, or hoping to retire, I should say, in the next 10 years, who will be part of that number you mentioned by 2030, so many people living in poverty? Are there things that you can help do to help those people in the short run?
Well, something that we looked at in talking to people who are about to retire is it's never too late to open up a retirement account and save. And something that we found out is even by starting to save in your 50s, you can make up that difference in the next 15 years. And so that's really what it became a conversation about is how can we provide access to retirement plans? So even if it's $10, $15, $20, saving something at any point in your life is better than not saving at all.
And what kind of things can be done to help incentivize that, make it easier for that person, again, looking at that hopeful retirement date sooner rather than later?
Well, you mentioned incentives, Robin. That's actually one recommendation that we provide in the task force. But with regard to auto enrollment, right now when you start a company and they offer you retirement, you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I sign up for between retirement, healthcare, starting my job? And we know when businesses automatically enroll people into a retirement plan, they are 90% more likely to start saving. And so that is one of the recommendations is incentivizing companies to, rather than having their employees opt in, they can actually opt out and be included the day that they start their job in saving for retirement.
A common theme I'm hearing from you and the committee and elsewhere is, you know, a really complicated system where you have to do all kinds of shopping around and comparing apples and oranges doesn't necessarily help a lot of people. The more you can do to simplify and kind of automate retirement savings, the more difference you're going to make. Is that a fair assessment of the philosophy of a lot of these ideas?
That is spot on. We know the more we can make this easy for employees and workers, the best chance they are to not only save, but to save more in the long run. And one of the other recommendations that we have put forth is an e-commerce platform. And the idea is that the state would have a one-stop shop for information where whether you are an employer trying to figure out how to offer retirement or you are a worker trying to figure out how to make the best decisions, you can find that information in one spot. But with regards to just automatic enrollment, Rob, I do want to add that we know when you are offered a plan at work, you are 15 times more likely to save, which again is why we continue to emphasize the need for a small business solution.
As we wrap up, these are task force recommendations. What is the road to go from those recommendations to some of these things actually becoming policy?
We are looking at two tracks. The first is the governor did include the small business solution, Wisconsin Saves, and 401 kids in the budget. And then one of our task force, as I mentioned from the front end, was a bipartisan task force. We had legislators from both sides of the aisle. And working with them to pass this through committees, one of the participants was Representative Mocco, who chairs the Ways and Means Committee, and working on how exactly we can best package that to make sure that goes through his committee. And so we are rolling up our sleeves, building this coalition, but we have great support, whether it's from the legislature to the governor and citizens across the state.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Wisconsin State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. She joined us earlier today for a look at recommendations from a state task force on retirement savings. Coming up, we'll talk to a UW expert on retirement savings and public policy, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about some of those ideas we just heard about? What is your biggest worry about retirement? If you are an employer, are you looking for ways to make it easier for your employees to save for retirement? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about retirement savings in Wisconsin. Most Americans are not saving enough to retire at their current standard of living by age 65. About 40% of Americans face the possibility of poverty in retirement, according to a 2018 study by the New School. A UW study found that more than 400,000 senior citizens in Wisconsin could be living in poverty by 2030. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there changes, maybe a policy change that would make it easier for you to save for retirement? Do you have questions about how all this works? Join in at 800-642-1234. J. Michael Collins is faculty director of the Center for Financial Security and a professor at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, we just talked to State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski about this retirement task force, which you, I believe, were also on. What stands out to you about the urgency of this problem of retirement security?
You know, it was an honor to be part of the task force, and I really, you know, thank the governor and the treasurer for convening this bipartisan effort. You know, we did, as part of this task force, we had a number of meetings around the state and listened to, you know, individuals talk about their the retired individuals and talked about how they got to that point or people who are trying to save up for retirement. And it just strikes me how much anxiety people feel about saving for retirement that, you know, some got lucky. They worked for an employer that had a good plan. Some, you know, didn't. And so, you know, they're feeling like they're not ready. And, you know, I was also struck by the fact that there was a lot of optimism. You know, there wasn't a lot of policy disagreement among committee members. I think there's a strong sense of, you know, we can provide better systems and better programs for people in the state so that they get to retirement feeling a lot more secure.
One thing that I didn't get to with the state treasurer is actually something I've talked to you about in the past, Michael. People not having emergency savings right now for that $300 car repair or $500 home or furnace repair, what have you. And if people are in that situation and they, you know, can't afford something that might happen next week, it seems like it'd be really hard to prioritize saving for retirement maybe decades away. How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, there is definitely sort of a hierarchy of needs when it comes to personal finances. And, you know, when I'm worried about being able to get a car repair or a refrigerator repair, then, you know, saving for something that's going to happen 40 years from now becomes really low priority. So I think, you know, we also saw the committee began back in 2019, well before the pandemic, but we saw in the COVID pandemic, a lot of people who used their retirement accounts as that form of emergency savings. So, you know, both the lack of emergency savings discourages people from being able to start a retirement. And then, you know, when an emergency hits, if they start using their longer term retirement funds for an emergency, that also saps those funds. So there's definitely a strong complementarity between encouraging people to save for those, plan for and save for those short term things, as well as being ready to prepare for those longer term things. And I think, you know, partly the report tries to address that with some, you know, building in some emergency savings features to savings accounts so that people can both save for retirement and have a protection for emergencies. But it's very true. We have to sort of be thinking holistically about retirement planning and overall financial security.
Talking to J. Michael Collins, faculty director of the Center for Financial Security at UW-Madison, looking at retirement in Wisconsin, the difficulty people have saving for retirement, and recommendations from a task force to help people do that. A lot of this would come through the state legislature if these recommendations are pursued. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Yordis joins us now in Colfax. Yordis, hi.
Hi. I had an idea that all Social Security recipients should have a minimum amount that they receive, like $1,000 a month, because there's so many people that there's interruptions in their work life. For instance, my sister's husband had cancer. She was taking care of him full time. And after he passed, her son had a car accident, which caused her to need to constantly take him to different appointments and therapies. And this completely interrupted her being able to make a living. And now at her age, over 65, she is working. And I mean, it's just really, really hard because she has a child that needs help. And there are many, many stories like that. And in rural places, people's wages are so low that, you know, and farmers, you know, all kinds of people, really, they work very hard, and when they get to retirement, the amount they get back from the government is very low.
Yordis, thanks a lot for the call. Yordis referring, Michael, I think, to Social Security benefits being based on your income, and if your income is interrupted or low to begin with. Can you talk about Social Security as part of this picture?
Yeah, no, it's really important. I mean, we oftentimes use this metaphor in retirement planning of a three-legged stool. And so one of those legs is Social Security, the Social Security benefits, which is, you know, it's an annuity that you can get for the rest of your life once you claim it for the old age component of Social Security. And it's been a critical part of people's financial security, you know, including people for retirement, but also for disability and for survivors, for widowed survivors. You know, there are a number of issues the caller raised, I think, that are really worth focusing on. I think we, you know, we have designed Social Security to be a system where you pay in when you work. And so typically we're looking for people who've worked for 10 years, you know, repeatedly. So they look for these, you know, credits that you have towards contributing. And then the amount you get is in part based on how much you put in. And so the less you put in, the fewer years you have in, the less you're going to get out at the end. There is some redistribution that is built into the system. So there are some minimum levels, but as the caller said, it's really not enough to get people by. I think there are a few things that the caller raised too that are worth thinking about too. Women oftentimes bear the brunt of this. They oftentimes are the ones who are the caregivers and who have, you know, for other reasons, not been in the workforce as much. And so, you know, oftentimes it puts them in a position where they have, and by the way, they oftentimes outlive their spouse, their male spouse. So, you know, I think that's an issue where women sometimes really have an extra layer of difficulty to face these issues. same kinds of issues with people in agriculture or maybe who aren't part of that pay-in system, that the FICA tax system. And so, you know, we definitely have people for whom the system hasn't worked well. There have been some proposals to better, you know, compensate or allocate benefits for people who have been documented caregivers. And so that caregiving might be for, you know, a family member or somebody else. And so I think there are some, it's still really early in that policy development process, but there are some proposals to better deal with those kinds of issues because we recognize that is a, you know, is an important role that people play. They're not able to earn, but we do want to not penalize them for taking that task on. And certainly if the alternative is that they, you know, have that task taken care of by the state or by the public, we'd prefer people do that on their own than have to turn to the public sources to do it.
Thanks for the call, Yordis. We'll go to Cindy now in Appleton. Cindy, hello.
Hello. Well, this makes the great case for a union. I was union employed for 21 years and retired with a pension. So with the pension, my Social Security, and my 401k, I will be okay. And I think it's really time to look at bringing unions back because people then come out with a pension and that helps you survive when you're retired.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Michael, can you talk about the change, a decline in unions, and I think a decline in the availability of pensions in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's two different issues. There's the issue of sort of unions and the ability of workers to organize and really advocate for the best benefits they can get. And then there's the issue of pensions, which are, you know, like this kind of defined benefit that you get by paying in. You know, a lot of companies have moved away from pensions, you know, in part because of the, you know, the financial issues involved in that and also the demographic issues and others. And so, you know, I think most companies now, most large companies have moved to more of a defined contribution plan where you're putting in a 401k and not a pension. So we've seen a big movement away from pensions, and that's both within unionized and non-unionized companies. I think the one of the bigger issues that we face with both unions and pensions and retirement plans in general is who you work for makes a big difference. And so if you work for a larger company, whether it's unionized or not, you're probably going to get better benefits. If you work for a small business or you're self-employed, your ability to even find benefits is really limited. And I think the treasurer made comments about this. It's just tough for a small business to walk into a, you know, whether it's an insurance company or a financial services company and get a good deal. The kinds of retirement plans that they get offered tend to have high fees. You know, these plans aren't designed really with the consumer in mind. And so, you know, it's rational for some small businesses to say, look, I can't really provide my employees something that's good here. And the best way to get around that is to get to some scale. And that's partly what this Wisconsin SAFE proposal tries to do, is pull together lots of employers, small employers, and lots of individuals to, you know, get that buying power, to get a better plan with better quality investment options and lower fees. So, you know, in some ways it replicates what unions do for within a company, but within the state, and allows people to band together and hopefully get a better deal for their benefit.
Thanks for the call, Cindy. We'll go to Gail now in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The one thing I have a concern about is that there are private money management firms that are trying to get a hold of these accounts so that they can charge fees and for their services and service charges and whatever extra money they can start to pull out of each one of those personal accounts that would be brought in to the one umbrella account that would be making all the money, like the 401k groups all together that corporations have, moving it over to this money management firm would just start to nickel and dime and dollar away all out of the profits that
Gail,
should be going.
I'm going to jump in, Gail. We're just about out of time. Briefly, Michael, Gail's concern.
She's 100% right. We spent a lot of our time on the task force talking about this very issue. And part of the idea is to have some supervision by the state, by an advisory committee that would have, you know, a duty on behalf of the participants to get the best deal possible and not let those fees and costs get chiseled away, because we recognize that's a really big threat to people's financial security.
Thanks for that call. In our last few moments, Michael, I mean, we have task forces in Wisconsin sometime. We have recommendations. Did you get a feeling that people felt a sense of urgency that at least some of these recommendations were going to lead to policy changes?
You know, I'm pretty optimistic. I do feel like this is going somewhere, and in part because this isn't requiring a big public outlay of resources. It's really thinking about ways in the long run to save the state money. So this is a good example of the state sort of doing something now that will potentially have long run benefits down the line.
Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was J. Michael Collins, faculty director of the Center for Financial Security and professor at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He joined us for a look at retirement savings in the state. Earlier, we heard from State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, who's chair of a state task force on retirement. That task force, which J. Michael Collins is also on, came out with recent recommendations.